don't let the fear of the time it will take to accomplish something stand in the way of your doing it. The time will pass anyway. We might just as well put that passing time to the best possible use. And that was said by Earl Nightingale. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, very interesting times, folks. Very interesting times. Huge energy floating through the field these days. There really is. And the show that I did last week where I talked to the members of the One People's Public Trust seems to have certainly created a stir with a lot of people. We've had a lot of people speaking out in support of the project and a lot of people speaking out against the project. And it will be very interesting to see where it all leads. Still looking at it for myself, I can see the reservations people are having with it. I can see why. But yet I can also see some very positive sides to it. And somehow it just still feels right inside. I mean, because when I look at it, I mean, I know that I'm free. I know what I am. I know that I'm answerable only to the Creator, no matter what anybody may say. And I've said this on many, many radio shows and on many of the talks and presentations I've given. And I've even said on many shows and I've shown in many films that I believe there is one law to all of creation, and that law is service to creation for the Creator. And that is the way I live my life. And so all I can really see in the OPPT is basically a contract which makes you a servant of the Creator, which is what you are anyway. There is nothing between you and your Creator, whatever you perceive your Creator to be. And really that's all I can actually see in the OPPT is a system of putting that into legal framework so that now even under their law, it cannot be disputed that you are answerable only to the Creator. And I see it as perhaps a mechanism that people can use to feel free, because they are already. I've been trying to tell them this for years, but as I said, it will be interesting to see where it all goes. But again, folks, really the way I see it, and looking at it logically, if someone is going to claim that they have a right of ownership over you and that you must be subservient to their wishes, while the OPPT's UCC filing stands unrebutted, then they would have to show proof of claim that they created you. That's really what I see with this. So, as I said, folks, it will be interesting to see where it all goes. And I do plan on having Heather and Chris Hales on the show next week, if I can get hold of them, to discuss some of this issue and to hopefully answer some of the many questions that have been sent to me by people and the many issues that have been raised. So yes, folks, if you're feeling unsure about things and you're uncertain and you're worried about what the outcome could be, or you have doubt in your mind in any way, shape or form, then I highly recommend that you don't jump into anything. But hopefully next week we'll be able to put all of this on the table and we can see what we come up with. And it's been interesting. I've had responses where people have referred to judges' decisions and things, but I haven't seen any rebuttals of the filing, and I seem to be seeing people commingling with lower law than UCC law. So perhaps we can bring some of these questions to the table as well and really try to look a little deeper at what's going on here. I've had a lot of people talk about the trouble you can get into from making UCC filings and suggesting that nobody makes any of these filings. And folks, I haven't seen anything within the OPPT which suggests that you should make a UCC filing. That simply isn't part of it. I've seen people talk about the fact that if you start stirring up trouble like this, you may be seen as a terrorist. And I don't know, folks, but to me, when I look in the Oxford English Dictionary, which is the language that I speak, English, I look at the definition of terrorism and I find that terrorism is defined as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion. And that is the Oxford English Dictionary definition of terrorism. And I would suggest that in that context, it's the police and the government who are the terrorists, and certainly not the people who are claiming they are free and that they are answerable only to the Creator that the terrorist government bases its corrupt legal system on. And my apologies if it offends anyone, but that's just the way I look at things. And of course, in reality, folks, the legal system is just another program. And folks, I do not pretend or even suggest to be an expert on law, so don't take my word for what's going on. All I can offer you is my perspective, as I've said so many times before. That's all I have on these shows, folks, to give you is my perspective, because ultimately that's all I have. That's all anyone really has to ever offer you, folks, is their perspective. Simply because that is where they view the world from, because that is who they are. And that perspective is really the only thing that separates anybody from each other, is the fact that each of us have a completely unique perspective. Perhaps one of the most bizarre claims I have heard about the OPPT, though, is that it's a satanic ritual. This is quite amazing, folks. I don't know how this could possibly be a satanic ritual. And the whole concept of anything being a satanic ritual is, in fact, a Vatican program, folks. This is a Roman Vatican program. If you're talking about Satan, then you've been programmed by this Vatican system, because it's completely different. It all comes back to the predator mind, really. And I actually spoke about this on a show with someone recently, so you can probably go back and listen to that talk about the predator mind. But people always seem to fall back on religion, even if they claim they're not involved with religion or they don't support religion in any way. They'll always come back to Satan or Satanism while claiming they don't have any ties to religion. But of course, the whole concept of Satan is a religious concept put in place by the Vatican system, which came out of Rome. So all roads lead to Rome, folks. They always have. A lot of these programs come from Rome, and many people are programmed in so many ways. It just goes so deep. There are so many different programs running, and they're essentially spells. They're spell programs, folks, because many of them come from books. People glean their knowledge from books. Books are spells, folks. That's why the words are spelt in the books. It's all spelling. You've got to get the spelling right to write a book, because it's a spell. It's all a spell, folks. People are enslaved to the written word, and they are spelling their reality based on their perception and on their belief system. And I've done whole shows about this, and I've spoken about this so often, and even when people start reading these satanic rituals into things, it's because they're guided by the spells within the words, and they start spelling this satanic stuff into it. It's a spell. People are literally enslaved to the written word. They don't know things anymore. They don't know things from within them. They don't feel things from their heart anymore. Well, many people, anyway, most people in modern society, they based all of their knowledge and their understanding of reality by what they've gleaned from books. So they're taking on someone else's version of reality, someone else's belief system that is being spelled to them. And these are all programs that have been put in place, mostly from the church, mostly from Rome. Even the whole trust system, the Sister KV Trust, and the whole corporate system, the whole system of commerce that we're under, this is also a spell. It's a program. The legal system, it's a program. The divisionist mechanisms that are embedded within the social system that we live under, it's a program. People judging themselves, it's a program. People becoming defensive when someone has a different opinion to them and writing page-long essays of explanations in order to validate their opinion, it's a program. And there's so many of these programs running, folks. People believing they can manifest reality and then getting upset with themselves when it doesn't happen. It's a program. You don't believe you can manifest reality. You just manifest it because you know you can. If you don't know you can, why would you try to believe it? And if you're trying to believe it, then you're never going to do it because you don't know it. If you didn't know it, you wouldn't be trying to believe it. It's very simple, folks. It's just a different perspective. If people can really step above it and step above the programs that they're running, because it's all programs, and we have to understand that what we have here is 7 billion unique perspectives of the same reality, and that it's a collective manifestation based on the collective belief of the collective unconscious. That's really what's going on here. Unfortunately, the collective unconscious is kept in a constant state of fear due to the system of commerce that's been imposed upon reality. That's the problem, because everyone's always worried about something. They're worried about their spot on the earth. They're worried about how they're going to survive. They're worried about whether the authorities are going to come. They're worried about whether they're going to have enough money to have a viable future. They're worried about all of these things. This is fear-based mind control. And it is through the imposition of commerce over the human experience that this fear-based mind control is achieved. That's the basic foundation stone for fear, is commerce, to enslave people to a reality where they believe they have to pay in order to be alive. That is the basis of the fear-based mind control system. And of course, this is also done through things such as religion and the Vatican program, because this also creates a fear of death, fear of Satan. I mean, you've got to have a boogeyman in there. And this is all just fear-based mind control, folks. And fear is how the predator mind achieves and maintains control over the human experience. But ultimately, it's a spell, folks. That's all it is. It's a spell. And that's something else that I see with the OPPT, is that even the fact that they've written this filing, it's a spell. But it's a spell which may have the power to actually undo the other spell, the previously written spell, which was the corporate system that people believed to be real. So as I said, folks, it will be interesting to see where all of this goes. But as I've often said, there is a shift coming. I mean, and I really believe that we are in a period of transition right now. I think that from now till March is a very significant time, and it'll be interesting to see what happens after March as well. I think we are in a very, very important period, and the shift that can and wants to happen, as I've so often said, is a shift that people have to participate in. And this is the same with freedom, folks, because freedom does not just come knocking at your door. Freedom is a state of heart, and in order to achieve it, one has to participate in the reality around them. They have to participate in that frequency of freedom. They have to know that they're free, or they never will be free. The only way you will ever really know that you are free is to know who and what you are, and to know that there is nothing that stands between you and your Creator. All men, all women were created equal. All have a unique perspective of reality. All are just as valid. And once we realize this, I truly believe that we could take human consciousness to such incredible levels and perceive the human experience in ways that we cannot even imagine. Due to the impaired state that we are currently in, which is a result of the environment in which we are currently forced to live. And this is not just the ecological environment, folks. It's the psychological environment, the fear-based mind control, the biological environment, the ecological environment, the whole lot, folks. It's every single aspect of the human experience. Every environment that we currently perceive has been manipulated and used in such a way as to lock us down into the state that we're currently in. Because I think we're capable of doing a lot more than what we believe we can do, folks. Some of the experiences that I've had, some of the experience that I had during ceremony in Peru, there was actually a period in Peru where my higher senses came online and I was able to perceive reality in a far broader way than what I normally can. It's very, very difficult to explain, folks, but it's as if I was flowing through creation with all the ease of movement of a fish through water. It was remarkable, and I was able to feel reality around me in ways that I cannot even describe to you, because there are no words to explain the feeling. It's like when I've said on some of the shows that there was one moment where I felt like the Amazon communicated its entire emotional journey to me, but it wasn't done in such a way that I could tell you in words. It wasn't anything that I could explain to you, because it was communicated to me through higher senses. And I can't explain it to you except via the use of those higher senses, which in many people are dormant. So how do I convey the information to the people? It's remarkable, folks, what we are actually capable of. And that's what I'd like to see. And that's why I do what I do, folks. I just want people to be able to be in a position where we can reshape this reality that we're in. We have to get all these toxins out of the food. We have to stop allowing ourselves to be enslaved to this corporate system. We're never going to do that until we realize who we are, and we realize that we have the ability to stand up to this corporate system if we would simply respect each other. That's the whole key, folks. That's the key to the whole thing. All you have to do is respect the people around you, and you're not going to be able to do that unless you know who you are and you have that respect for yourself. That's the thing. And it's really so simple, folks. It would be so simple for us to fix everything and take this society and this reality in a completely different direction if we would simply stop invalidating the opinions of others, stop thinking that there's only one way to do things, and bring all of our perspectives together. We've got to stop running these programs. We've got to stop with the programmed responses to everything we do, and we've got to put the programs away and discover ourselves again. And look, I think it is happening on a lot of levels as well, folks, because a lot of people are coming to the same conclusions with things now. You've noticed that, folks. Different researchers will be starting to say the same things now, because when you're on the right path and you're all going down the right direction, you're going to find that other people are going to start saying the same things that you do. And when you see this happen and you hear someone say your words, don't think that they have stolen your research. Don't jump into the divisionist program and the ego program. Just realize that the information is now there in the field, and the information is so obvious that, of course, people are going to be coming to the same conclusions, and they're going to be saying the same things, because ultimately there is only one truth. And if your research has been valid, and if your perception of reality has been valid, and if you're being led down the real path and the genuine path to the truth, then of course your research is going to overlap everybody else's research. I see whole websites now, folks, that I could swear the name of the website was a line that I'd used from one of my radio shows. I see so many people saying the things that I've said. And I don't look at any of these people and think, oh, they're stealing my research. All I see is that consciousness is waking up and that everybody is coming to the same conclusions. And to me, this is a very, very positive sign. And when I see people saying something that looks like it's my words, I feel so gratified and so happy to see that, to see that people are all coming to similar conclusions, because it validates what you know to be true in your heart. And it's what you know to be true in your heart that's important, folks. It's what your intuition tells you that is the most important thing. Even Albert Einstein said that 90% of science was intuition. And so it's important to listen to this. It's important to listen to your heart, because it's important to know where the information comes from. And it's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from your intuition. People talk about channeling. Well, we can all channel, folks. We can all channel because the information is in the field. It's all there. We can download it into ourselves and we can know the truth of it through our intuition. It's when people start channeling entities that give them names. And I've said this on so many occasions, folks. I've spoken to so many people about it, and I've said that if you're channeling something that has given a name to you, it says that I am Ashtar of the Galactic Command, or I am Ra, or I am this, or I am that, then all it is an entity that has got between you and Source. Why would you choose to receive information from an entity that placed itself between you and your Creator when you can get the information straight from Source yourself? The problem is that there are many people who simply aren't spiritually advanced enough to know where the information they're channeling comes from. And when they receive the information, their ego kicks in and they like to say, well, I am the only person who can channel this particular energy. And they start using it as a revenue stream, and all sorts of things kick in. And it's all ego-based, and it's just another program. But the thing is, folks, what I'm trying to say here is that when people listen to the show and they hear the information that I bring to them and it resonates with them, it's because it exists in the field. Now, because all I'm really doing is offering my perspective. I'm trying to keep it from a perspective of common sense and logic. I mean, this is what makes sense to me. If I put this here and this here and put all the cards on the table, well, this is what I come up with. So I put it out there to see whether people out there feel the same way about the information, whether people can feel the same energy that I can feel, whether people can come to the same conclusions that I can come to. I have some people disagree with me, and I have some people say, yes, I like what you said because it feels right. It just resonates, and really it's just obvious. And that's what I've tried to do with the shows, folks. As I've said, I just want people to wake up, because I think we can create a better world, and I think that now is the time in history that we have the opportunity to do it. But it can only be done by respect, and that's why I don't wish to jail anybody. I don't want to overthrow the government. I don't want to overthrow any leaders. I don't want to put anybody in jail. I want them all to come home. I want to take all of consciousness with me, even the bad parts, even the psychopathic parts. I'd like to heal them. Perhaps they can't be healed, but still I can't help but have compassion and empathy for these individuals, because that's just who I am. There might be other people out there who don't feel that way, but I can't not feel this way because this is who I am. And that's just it. If other people have something to deal with about that and they feel in a different way, well, that's the way they feel. That's who they are. And I can respect that. I may not agree with it, but I can respect it. And so it's got to come to this respect, folks. But I think we are at a unique time in history. And I think it's very, very important that people pay attention to what's going on around them. And I believe they're only really going to perceive what's going on around them if they pay attention to who they are themselves. Bit of a rave there, folks. I do go off on these tangents sometimes. It's just the way it works out, folks. You might be hearing a little bit of squally stuff in the background that may sound like static to anybody out there listening as well. It's because there's quite a severe rainstorm going on here in Byron Bay. We get a lot of rain here, folks. We've got floods on the go again. We just had floods a few weeks ago. You might recall my son lost everything he owned in Queensland in a town called Bundaberg. Well, it's happening again. We've got more floods. The ground is already so waterlogged from the last floods, and it hasn't really stopped raining since then, and so it's a very interesting place to be at the moment. And I may actually be offline for a couple of shows in the next week or two. I'm not sure. Just see how things work out. But I will be moving from this property probably in the next 2 weeks. And so I may be in for a rerun somewhere in there, depending on whether I'm able to make a smooth transition. But everything seems to be falling into place exactly as it is supposed to. And that's always a good sign. I do love synchronicity, and I love the way reality just puts you where you are supposed to be in order for you to take the next step on the journey. Because you never know what's right around the corner, folks. Each day is a mystery, and the only thing that remains consistent through life is change. And that's something that I actually really like about it, folks. I've always found that it's not good to get too comfortable, because when you get too comfortable, you tend to miss out on the rest of the world. And I think the rest of the world is actually begging for our attention, folks. But it really comes down to what sort of attention we're giving it. Because we've got all these problems that are external to ourselves: coal seam gas mining, whaling, corruption, government corruption, legal issues, environmental issues, homelessness, starvation, wars, all of these things that are external to ourselves, and we need to deal with all of them. We absolutely do need to deal with all of them. But again, it comes back to first dealing with that within ourselves. Because until you're in your heart and until you can stay in that positive energy and realize that you are just as valid as everybody else, and you learn to respect the people around you as yourself in Lakesh, it isn't until we do that on an individual level that we're going to be able to deal with all the other problems. And that's the beauty of it. That's the ease of which we could deal with it, because if everybody in the world just did this, then the whole world would change in 3 seconds. This is what I've said so many times. It's up to you to change your energetic state and start applying that to the world around you and leading by example in all that you do. And questioning reality, questioning authority, standing in the power that you have, asking why anybody would presume to be an authority over you, and if they're claiming that they are, to please show your proof of claim. You see, we are all divine, and we could have a wonderful planet, and we could have a wonderful life here on the beautiful ball of life that is our planet, our little special place in the universe that's connected to the divine cosmos itself. We could have this incredible perfection happening here, this incredibly loving, vibrant community based in growth and compassion and the grand experiment and art of life itself, if we simply broke free of the fear-based mind control that this society, this fictional meme that we call society, keeps us in, and broke free of the predator mind. And you have to realize that the predator mind is there. This reason for finding trouble with other people, this reason for judging other people, this reason for believing that your answer is the only answer, that your perspective is the only perspective that's valid. Once we learn how to stop doing this and we learn to live our lives in Lakesh, the whole world changes. That's as simple as that, folks. That's why I suppose I've been pushing the same thing for so long. Because this reality is just a meme. It's a spell. And it's just an idea that society has to function this way, that we have to have society at all. Even civilization itself, folks. Civilization is so detrimental to humankind, it beggars belief. It isn't something that we would come up with on our own because it doesn't serve us. That's why I said in my film, Transformation, who was it who first pulled a rock from the ground and decided to melt it down into metals? Why would they even perceive the concept of metals? Why would they need them? They wouldn't need them to survive in harmony on this earth. Why would they come up with them? Why would we ever come up with a system of commerce? Why would we ever start ripping the life of the earth out of itself and building these dead structures out of what we steal from the earth and giving these structures life when we walk into them and give them life? Why would we be so obsessed with creating artificial intelligence, creating artificial life, when we can already create organic life ourselves through procreation? The whole planet is teeming with life. The whole organism that is the earth is teeming with life. Of course it's an organism because it's teeming with life in its every aspect. Why would we have ever constructed a society and a civilization that appears to be working around the clock to destroy that life and to focus only on creating artificial life, robotic life, intelligent computers, transhumanism? Why is humankind, via the mechanism of the predator mind and the programs that people are running within different aspects of society, why is this species working as hard as it can to destroy all life on this planet in order to create a machine life? These are questions that I think people need to ask. Because it's when you ask the questions that you can see this is happening. And when you can see that it is happening, then you start to perceive what the solution is. The solution is to break the spell, to start respecting each other, and to change your perspective of reality. Because once we do that, we change the world. And I believe that's what this shift is. And I believe that is the opportunity that we've been presented through all of the things that we've been doing and all the things we've been researching and all the different researchers and all the different rabbit holes that everybody's gone down and every little piece of the puzzle that everybody's gained. We've gotten now to that special point in time where we can now affect positive change, and all we have to do is bring all this together. But I think it's break time here now, folks, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for spending this time with me today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, a lot of people in the alternate research movement and a lot of people that have been researching all of the ways of the world and finding their way through this quagmire that we call modern society, a lot of these people have created themselves online. They've created an image of themselves, of who they'd like to be, or they've just been able to make themselves into what they wanted via the use of the internet. They've all brought a perspective to the world, and many people have been able to see the corruption of this society. They've been able to see what's going on, and they've put a great deal of energy into fighting the good fight and bringing the information to the people out there in the world. But one really must sit back sometimes and perhaps ask the question that, what if we won? What if something happened and we won the fight and the system was brought down and humankind was given the freedom that it wants and the freedom that it deserves? Because there are so many people who have dedicated their lives to fighting the good fight that when it comes to the crunch of it and the fight is won, would they be then willing to give up the fight? Because for some people, the fight is their lives. And if we did win, how many people would fight against the end of the fight? Because the fight is all they know. And sometimes I can't help but ask that question, because for many people, the fight against the system itself has become the meaning of their lives. It isn't about winning. It isn't about shifting their consciousness, but rather it's about the fight itself. And that is another program that I'm seeing that many people appear to be running. the program of the fight itself. I'm sure there's many people who would accept the end of the fight, but only on their own terms, because many people have dedicated their entire life in fighting the system, and they want it to be on their terms so they can stand back and gloat and say, see, I told you so, I knew I would beat you. And they have this approach that is motivated by revenge, which is, again, an aspect of the predator mind. I truly believe that there is no room for vengeance, there is no room for retribution within the mind of an enlightened individual. I don't care about what anybody did. I believe that everybody who did anything wrong is because of the predator mind, and it's important to forgive these people, because the need for revenge is again another aspect of the same thing. And that isn't to say that I'm a pacifist. That isn't to say that I would not defend myself or inflict harm upon another person in self-defense. I absolutely would. But I don't do so from a vengeful perspective, and once the situation is neutralized, I don't wish to escalate it into a situation again by seeking revenge or retribution against anybody. All I really seek is to free their mind of the predator that has usurped their consciousness and has led them away from the art of themselves. Because that's ultimately what we see in the world, folks. That's a really, really big part of it, is that people don't experience themselves. They don't experience the art of themselves. And most of the aspects of the confrontation that happens between people is a result of this predator mind, this predator consciousness that exists within virtually everybody on the planet. And it is there, folks. You may deny that it's there, but if you look deep enough, you'll find that it is there. There is this fear. There is this predator. There is this fear of being found out that exists within everybody. But found out of what? What is it? It's yourself. You're scared of people finding out about you. But really, you is who you are. But there's always that secret, that dark secret that everybody has. But it isn't really a dark secret. It's just you. It's not really darkness at all. It's just the side of yourself that you won't face. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that people have to see it within themselves so they can understand what it is. It's merely you. But it's just that you're given all of these aspects of yourself by society to judge yourself by, but none of these aspects are real, and so you won't face the you. It's not really a shadow at all. It's just the essence of who you are. But you've been taught to be afraid to show it to the world around you. But what causes that fear in you? Why would you not want to face yourself and show yourself to the world? It's because of the fear and the doubt that you hold about yourself, and all of this is a result of the predator mind. But the thing is, folks, I mean, if you look within yourself and you really see yourself, why would you see anybody as a threat to yourself? Why would you see anybody else's opinion or perspective to be something that invalidated yours? You would do that because you are not confident in yourself. You don't have the conviction of your own ideas. You've got a boxed view of reality. You're looking down this rabbit hole, and you're only assimilating that which reinforces your view of reality. That's what many people do, because we find this path, we find this place that keeps us safe and we're happy walking down this corridor. Okay, if I walk down this corridor, I understand how reality works. Don't give me any doorways. I don't want to look. I'm happy here. This is something that I can function in. And we get this security, and we won't look outside of ourselves. We won't look at other perspectives. We just want stuff that reinforces our view. And if someone else comes along with another perspective, we find ways of attacking them and belittling them. And again, this is the predator mind. It all comes from this predator mind. But really, what's running here, folks, is programs and sequences of programs. It's all been done in a sequence. This whole fake reality, this whole matrix, this whole paper-based world, this whole meme that we live under. There's been a sequence. It's been a sequential series of events that has brought us to this point. And what we have to do now is we have to understand it. We have to see how it works, and we have to work out a viable method for reversing that sequence. And that's what I'm seeing happening now. I'm seeing that sequence beginning to be reversed. I think it's come to a pinnacle. It's come to a point, it's a tipping point, it's going to go either one way or the other. And people are starting to now realize that we can reverse the sequence, And the first step is to find yourself, to know who and what you are. And more people are coming to this realization every day. Now, it really is the first step, folks, because when you do this, as I've said, I mean, it's ad nauseum, folks. Once you've done this and you find yourself and you see yourself as valid, and then you can begin to break down the barriers between other people, you begin to realize that it isn't all about what is your way. It isn't about what you've discovered and how much of a guru you are. It's about the collective. It's about the whole thing. It's about marrying all the perspectives together and merging modern reality with the old ways. You've got to merge the present with the past in order to create the future, folks. That's how Fibonacci sequence works, and it works for consciousness as well. I think everybody's ready for it. I think every culture is ready for it. I think every single human being on this planet, all of mankind, is ready for it. And I think the planet is also ready for it. And all it's going to take is our participation. So it's about time we woke up to ourselves and broke down the division, stopped running all these programs, stopped the divide and conquer meme, stopped believing our way is the only way, and realize that all ways are viable if they're all brought together and merged into the right way. Because the right way is compassion. The right way is empathy. The right way is respect. And that is how we create the future. And that might seem really esoteric and airy-fairy to some people, but I'm sure if you really think about it, you'll find that it's true. It really is. I mean, that's how we can do it. We just have to put down this perception that we have that reality has to function within the parameters that have been given to us in books, and realize that there's a much, much broader way of looking at things. We have to put down our egos, folks, and stop attacking each other, and we've got to escape from the predator mind. We've got to see how many programs are actually running here. There's just so many, folks. Almost everybody is running programs. Very, very few people listen to their heart and communicate with the field around them. Very few people see others as themselves. And again, I have to really, really question how many people would ever be willing to give up the fight were the fight suddenly won. I think that's an important issue that people really do need to look at, folks. If you're fighting the system and you're out there speaking out against the New World Order, the corporate system, and all of the problems that we face, ask yourself why you're doing it. Are you doing it because it's the right thing to do, or have you simply created a new you on the internet and are now lost in the fight? Because it's not really about the fight, it's about the outcome. Of course, the fight is important. It's important to fight the good fight. It's important to spread the truth. But what I'm saying here, I guess, is not to get too caught up in the fight, because you don't want to be in a position where you're going to fight the end of the fight. And that's probably getting confusing. But that's kind of what I'm trying to say, folks. I think that we're going to see some major changes this year, and I think they're going to come from very, very unexpected places. I don't think freedom is going to look like what people expected it to look like, because freedom is self-responsibility. Freedom is 100% self-responsibility. Freedom is knowing who you are and knowing that we are all one on this earth. Nobody owns the earth. Nobody owns any part of the earth. You're only here for a little while. The Australian Aboriginals, the Origini people of this country, have a wonderful saying. They say that we don't own the earth owns us. And that's the way I think that people should look at it. Anybody who says this is my country, this is my land, no, it isn't. The land does not belong to you. You belong to the land. I love the Origini people of this country, folks. I love the way they look at the spaces between the stars in order to navigate their way across the country. I love the right-brained approach that they have to reality. I love the telepathic nature of the people. They are such an earthy people, and I love them dearly. I think we could all learn a lot from the Origini people of this country. But I think we can learn a lot from all cultures. We can learn a lot from all people. We can certainly learn a lot from ourselves as well. If we can find ourselves, that's the hard part, folks, isn't it? It's finding ourselves. And I hope that's what I help people do with these shows. That's really what it's about, folks. It's about finding yourself. And that's all I really attempt to do, folks, is help people look at things from a different perspective in the hope that they will find themselves. I mean, that's the only reason I really do these shows. I do them because I think we've got problems. I mean, the Earth is in serious trouble. And to me, the solution is so simple. I mean, I go on about this all the time, sort of ad nauseum. You're probably sick of hearing it. But, you know, I do believe the solutions are simple. And I'll keep plodding along with the same message because this is my truth. This is the truth that I hold. And that's what I've been bringing to people. I believe that if I say it enough, if I say it in enough different ways, if I look at it from enough different perspectives, then the more people will get it. The penny will drop. I mean, I may be able to say something one week and nobody gets it, but then I say the same thing in a different way the next week and everybody gets it. So you just don't know where it's going to lead, folks. And that's why I tend to repeat myself so much, because I think it's an important message. And I really believe that we are in a very, very important time in history. It is a transitional period. And I believe that all of us have chosen to come here, to be here for this transition. I think this is how consciousness evolves. And I think we're at that point right now. And we're all here to participate. So why not really participate? Why not get out there on the front line? Why not be riding the wave rather than sitting back in the spectator booth? That's what I want to do, folks. I want to ride the wave. I want to free humanity. I really want to see a better world when I leave this world. I want to see a world that was better than the world that I came into. Now, unfortunately, I haven't seen that. The world that I came into was pretty messed up. I knew it was messed up when I was 4. But when I look at it now, it's much, much more messed up now than what it was when I was 4. And I feel to some extent that was my fault, because I didn't participate enough. I didn't stand up enough. I didn't stand for what was right and what was truthful. I didn't have empathy in everything that I did. I didn't lead by example in every action that I made. I didn't serve creation by my time in it. I served myself. I served myself at the expense of other people. I served myself at the expense of creation. It was all about me for so many years. It was always about economic gain or social standing or how I looked to my peers or how I was perceived by other people, whether people perceived me to be intelligent or talented or beautiful or whatever, all of the yardsticks and rubbish that we're given to by this society. And it's like that for so many people. And so we have now the world that we have allowed to be created around us due to our non-participation, because we were running all of these programs, because everything I just mentioned, worrying about what you look like, worrying about your social standing, all of this stuff, these are programs. They're all programs. None of them are you. They're all somebody else's perception of what you should be if you're going to be accepted within the parameters of this system, which is even itself a program. So you've got programs within programs within programs within programs. And when you look at it that way, it's no wonder that humankind is in the disastrous state that it's in. It's no wonder that people are so messed up. And really, when you see how it's been done, you can't blame people for what they do. You can't blame people for being so disconnected. You can't blame people for believing the system is real. You can't blame police officers for being the brutal thugs that they are, because it's just a program. All these things are programmed. They're all programmed ways of thought, pre-programmed perceptions of reality that are fed to people, and people then take that reality on as their own. But it's not. It's just an idea. It's just a meme. It's just something that they came up with. It's something that somebody wrote in a book somewhere, sometime, and put it down there as a spell. And people took that spell on, and they allowed it to spell their lives and to create the world that they live in. And they live their lives under that spell, because they don't know the spell is there. They don't know it exists. And that's hopefully what we're seeing now, folks, is a breakdown of these spells. Perhaps the writing of new spells. Perhaps spells that will free humanity. Perhaps people will realize that their life could be their own spell. It all comes down to your perception. And freedom, as I said, folks, is a state of heart. It's a state of mind. It's a state of perception. It's a state of what you believe yourself to be. what you believe you're capable of, what you believe your relationship with creation is. It's all about that, folks. And we're seeing this more and more in every aspect of our society. We're seeing it more and more among people, more and more across the internet, more and more in our interactions with people around us. Sure, there's a lot of people that are asleep, but they will wake up. They will wake up at their own pace, of their own accord. And they'll wake up even faster if you get out there and participate in the world around you. If you lead by example in what you do. If you question authority in front of these people and do it in a polite and eloquent way, and in a way that makes common sense because it's just logical, then you will also help many, many people to wake up, and you will help shift the consciousness yourself. But you've got to go out there and you've got to participate, folks. Participation is the most important thing that you can do at the moment. Don't just sit back on your computer and think because you type in chat rooms and post on blogs that you're participating. You've got to get out there and talk to people. Go and do local radio shows. Go and do what you can. Go and put flyers in people's letterboxes and notices up in public places and question authority at every single chance that you get. But do it politely. Do it eloquently. Do it as one friend to another. One human being to another. Mankind to mankind. Just do it that way. Realize that you are divine under God and you are no different to anybody else. It doesn't matter what they're wearing. Doesn't matter what badge they have on. Doesn't matter what rule book they base their reality on. Ultimately, we are all divine under the Creator, and we all have equal rights, and we all have equal standing. So let's just exercise that and see what we come up with. I'm pretty sure that if we change our attitude and start acting in this manner, we are certainly going to come up with something far, far better than what we currently have. I'd say that's a given, folks. I don't think we could really get much worse than what we've done. And that's important too. It's important to see it. It's important to see what we have done, because we have to look at it in order to fix it. That's why it's important to know about things such as the predator mind, because it's important to see it there. Because if you don't see it there and you don't know it's there, then how can you ever deal with it? How can you ever free yourself from it? We can. We can free ourselves from it. And the key is empathy. The key is respect and compassion. But we've got to have that for ourselves. That's the thing. I keep coming back to it, don't I? You've got to have that for yourself so you can apply it to the people around you and see other people as valid and be in that state of compassion for reality. It's important that you do it. In fact, I think it's the most important thing that anybody can do, is to have compassion and respect for creation. And that's every aspect of creation, folks. It's not about what is right for you. It's not about your way or the highway. It's about bringing it all together and living your life in Lakesh. That's what it's about. As I said, folks, what's been used to put us in the lockdown state that we're in, enslaved to an economic system, enslaved to the written word, living within a civilization which doesn't benefit life on this planet in any way, what has put us here is a sequential series of events. And I believe that the way back to what we should be, which is really very much a very long way back, but I think it can be achieved. But I think the way to do it is to reverse that sequence. I think we could reverse the sequence, and we could actually make the trip back there quite quickly simply by reversing the sequence, because once enough people reverse the sequence in the first instance, then I think the rest of it will fall like dominoes. But it has to be done in a sequential manner. I really do believe this, just from what I've worked out. What I see really is a mathematical progression. This whole solar system, this whole reality that we live here on the planet Earth, in this structure that we've got, the celestial mechanics of the solar system, the whole thing, the energetic universe, the energetic state of this solar system, the energies and the geometry, and the sequences that have been used to construct it. I think it's all very mathematical. It's all very sequential, and it's all very, very precisely constructed. And I think it can only be deconstructed through reversing the sequential events. And that's just something that I've come up with on my own, and it's why I see this time as being such an exciting time, because I think now we are, as I said earlier, at the pinnacle of those events. We are at the literal tipping point where we could go one way or the other. And I think there are all sorts of forces vying for control over which way it's going to go. We've seen a huge escalation in everything, a huge escalation of the electromagnetic grid, a huge escalation of the war machine, of the psychological machine. We've seen huge wedges driven into the alternative research community. We're seeing all sorts of things happening to really, really push the divide and conquer meme and to really push the fear into people at this time in history. But I think there's also solutions that are right there for all to see. And ultimately the solution is ourselves, of course. But I think the mechanism to discover yourself has now been put there for everybody. I think it's right there on the table. It's just going to depend which way people want to go. I really think it's there for us, though. I think the next 12 months are going to be fascinating. But don't get in fear, folks. Don't get in fear of anything that's happening, because it's always darkest before the dawn. But I think the dawn is coming. It may have already actually arrived, and it may be actually trying to peek through the shutters, but people have still got the shutters closed. But I think the shutters are going to get opened wider and wider as the days go on, and it will be interesting to see where we are in another 6 months and another 12 months from now. Really, really looking forward to this year, folks. I think it's going to be one of the most pivotal times in history. I really do. I think that we've got so much in store for us that it's going to leave our heads spinning. In fact, it already has. I mean, it's only the end of February here, and it's already been absolutely amazing. I mean, some of the stuff that's happened this year, it just seems to be coming in leaps and bounds, and there are so many things going on that it's just staggering, and it's really hard to get your mind around the whole lot, to get your head around it all. There's so much going on, and I, for one, simply can't wait to see where it's all going to lead. Because I think this is the time we've been waiting for. I really do. I think the ones we've been waiting for are ourselves, and I think that this is the time that we discover the truth in that statement, and we actually step into the roles that we are destined to have. I think we all came here to be here right now to do exactly what we are doing at this time. And I just can't wait to see what the outcome will be. But I mean, no matter how you look at it, folks, it really is a unique time in history. I mean, we've never had a situation like we've got today. We've never had the internet. We've never had the connection to each other the way we have. We've never had the workings of the mechanism laid so bare. We've never had the corporate system laid so bare. We've never been given so many opportunities for change. We've never really been given an opportunity to see ourselves as clearly as what we can now. And I think we're in for a hell of a ride over the next 12 months. But that is probably the end of the show for me, folks. I'm completely out of time, so I probably should leave it here before I get in trouble. It has been a pleasure speaking to you today. As I said, I'm going to attempt to get Heather Chuchi-Jarriff and Chris Hales on the show again next week in order to answer some of the questions regarding the One People's Public Trust that has caused so much controversy. So hopefully we can address some of that next week and we can see where it's all going to lead. And again, folks, if you're feeling unsure about anything, don't go and get yourself in trouble with anything. I mean, you really need to look at all of these things. I mean, there's so much on the table now that it's difficult to know which direction to go. And all I'm asking people to do is to keep an open mind and to look at things objectively, and we'll see where we end up. I'd like to say thank you to anybody who has ever supported the Crow House. It's always very, very much appreciated and sorely needed, and I really do thank anybody who has ever made a contribution. It's the only thing that keeps the site going. As I've said, I hope that I will be on air next week. Over the next couple of weeks, it may be a little bit uncertain for me because I will be moving from this property sometime during that time, but hopefully it will be a smooth transition and I won't have to miss any shows. We'll just see how it goes. But I will have to say goodbye for now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next time. Please take care. Until then, in La Cache.